actually listed last on my sheet for a change, is Stephanie Staris, is that right? Dr. Staris is an infectious disease epidemiologist with a concentration HIV, prevention of STDs, especially HPV and HIV. Her current research focuses on behavioral prevention of infection among minority adolescents. Dr. Staris is studying the relationship between event-level alcohol use and sexual partner selection to develop an intervention to prevent adolescent HIV infections. Additionally, she is investigating factors associated with HPV vaccine use among Florida and Texas Medicaid participants, caregivers, and providers with the intent of developing a preventive intervention to increase HPV vaccination rates.
Good morning. I'd first like to thank APHA and the meeting organizers for allowing me to present my research on HPV vaccine series completion among Florida low-income adolescents. I'm currently at the University of Florida, the Institute of Child Health Policy. I'd also like to acknowledge my co-authors, Laura Handerjani, who's here in the audience, and Elizabeth Schinkman. I have no relationships to disclose. And the learning objectives of this presentation are first for you to be able to describe the procedures of how to access vaccine series completion with Medicaid claims and encounter data. I'd also like you to be able to describe the disparities that we found with HPV vaccine series completion among Florida Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program, which is abbreviated CHIP. So first, I will give you a brief background on cervical cancer and human papillomavirus, which is also known as HPV, and the vaccine. Then I'll describe the hypothesis that we investigated. I'll cover the methods we use, including more about what is Florida Medicaid and CHIP, and how we calculated vaccine completion among those who had initiated the HPV vaccine series. Then I'll show you the results that we found, discuss some of the meanings of these results and why they're important to public health. So first, cervical cancer is very common in the United States. Each year, 12,000 women are diagnosed with cervical cancer and 4,000 women die from cervical cancer. It's particularly important in Medicaid. For Medicaid enrollees and women eligible for Medicaid are three times as likely to develop late-stage cervical cancer than the general population. The good news is, with the HPV vaccine available, cervical cancer is preventable, and approximately 70% of cervical cancer cases can be prevented. But what we need to do to accomplish this is achieve high vaccination coverage rates. So there's two HPV vaccines that have been approved by the Advisory Committee of Immunization Practices, Gardasil, which was approved in June 2006, and Cervarix, which was approved in October 2009. Both of these vaccines are recommended for 11 to 12-year-old girls, and they're permissible among 9 to 10-year-olds and recommended for catch-up for 13 to 26-year-olds. Three doses are required for maximum protection from cervical cancer, and it's recommended for both of these vaccines that the three doses occur within the first 6 months, the first dose. And what's interesting about our population is that it's available free of charge in both Medicaid and CHIP for all of the members. So what we were interested in is among girls who initiate the vaccine series, who is getting all three doses and therefore maximally protected from cervical cancer. We found a few US studies that looked at this, and they show a wide range of completion, from 13% to 69%. And the 69% was actually in a study where they had intent to improve their HPV vaccination in their hospital. And 13% is low-income girls, ages 13 to 26. And this was the only study that we could find for low-income girls. So from these studies, we looked at HPV vaccine completion rates and thought they might differ by some of the adolescent characteristics and the accessibility of healthcare. So what we looked at in this study is, among initiators of the vaccine, series completion is associated with important adolescent and healthcare access characteristics. So the adolescent characteristics that we looked at were the age that they received the first dose and the race ethnicity of the girls. And for health access, we looked at which program they were enrolled in. Were they in Medicaid or CHIP? And where did they live? Are they in an urban or rural area? And Medicaid has four programs, so which program were they involved in? So our study population was Florida girls ages 9 to 17. And this is because 9 to 17 is all of those girls are recommended to receive the vaccine. And we were particularly interested in girls whose parents were probably involved in the decision-making of the vaccine. So all of our girls have government-financed health insurance through Medicaid or CHIP. And Medicaid is the U.S. program for families whose income is below 100% of poverty level. And unfortunately, in Florida, the managed care organizations of Medicaid did not collect any itemized claims until 2009, so this group was not included in our analysis. So all of the Medicaid data that I'll present is for the non-managed care organization programs. And CHIP is for families whose income is between 100 to 150% of poverty. So within these girls, we looked at those who had the first claim for HPV vaccine between June 2006, when Gardasil was first approved, and February 2008. The claims for the vaccine were assessed with current procedural terminology codes, and we looked at Gardasil only because Cervarix was not approved during our study period. Girls had to maintain membership in Medicaid or CHIP for at least 10 months following their first vaccine claim, and then therefore data goes to December 2008, just 10 months after February. This gave us a sample size of just over 20,000 girls who had initiated the vaccine series. So what we looked at was the percent of girls who had claims for three or more doses versus those who just had claims for one or two. They had to have all of their vaccines within 10 months of their first dose, and this is 4 months beyond the recommended 6-month time period. We used logistic regression with a priori model building and calculated prevalence estimates using predicted marginals and prevalence ratios, and we used Sudan software to do this. So now what you've all been waiting for is what did we find? So among 9 to 17-year-old girls in Florida Medicaid non-MCO programs or CHIP, about 40% completed the vaccine series. We did find that this differed by whether they were in Medicaid or CHIP. So on this graph and the subsequent graphs, you'll see the percent of girls who completed the vaccine series on the y-axis, and then the variable that we are interested in on the x-axis. So here you see that Medicaid non-MCO programs, we had about 11,000 girls, and 36% of girls who initiated the vaccine completed the series. And for CHIP, we had almost 9,000 girls, and 10% more, 46% completed the vaccine series. This gives us a prevalence ratio around 1.3. So to show you what this looks like in comparison to other studies that are in the literature, this is just 13 to 17-year-old girls because that's the group that is available in other studies. The red bars are our two studies, the Florida Medicaid MCO and the Florida CHIP. And these numbers are slightly different because now it's 13 to 17-year-olds. This is California private insurance, which is a Kaiser Permanente study. And this is United States data from the NIS team. So what you can see is Florida CHIP is right in between these two estimates. So they're doing pretty well with in comparison to others. And Florida Medicaid is a little below the other groups, especially in comparison to the general population. So because of these differences, we looked at the Florida Medicaid MCO programs and the Florida CHIP programs differently to look at the other characteristics. So in Florida Medicaid, this is the age of series completion by years. So this is 9 to 17-year-olds. And what's interesting here is that the completion rates are pretty similar, around 34 to 38% for most of the ages. It's slightly higher in the 9-year-olds and slightly lower in the 17-year-olds that started the vaccine. We also found an interaction by race in the program component they were involved in Medicaid. So on the bottom, you see the four Medicaid programs. And then we have non-Hispanic whites in red, non-Hispanic blacks in the yellow bars, and Hispanics in the green bars. So what's interesting from this chart is fee for service is consistently lower than the other groups in completion. But I think what's more interesting is that the racial ethnic differences differ by what program component the girls are enrolled in. For example, in Children's Medical Service Network, the non-Hispanic whites are the highest and the Hispanics are the lowest. But if you look at Pilot, the non-Hispanic whites are still the highest, but just barely over the Hispanics, and then the non-Hispanic blacks are the lowest group. So then in Florida Medicaid, we looked at the area of residence that the girls lived in. So we have urban, rural, large rural, small rural, and isolated areas. And you can see that as you go away from the city centers, you have a lower percent of completion in Florida Medicaid. So then I want to present to you the data we found for CHIP. So in Florida CHIP, we had an interaction by age and race ethnicity. And you can see first off that here's the age and years. This is only the 11 to 17 year olds because there aren't very many 9 to 10 year olds, so we can't really do the interaction in that group. So we have non-Hispanic whites again in red, non-Hispanic blacks in yellow, and Hispanics in light green. And you can see here first that it differs a little more by age than it did in Florida Medicaid. And then the interesting thing is the 11 to 12 year olds, who is the recommended age group for vaccination, the non-Hispanic blacks are least likely to complete the series. And they also seem to be least likely the 17 year olds. Then there's possibly something interesting with the 14 to 15 year olds for the non-Hispanic whites are higher completing the series. So for Florida CHIP, we also looked at the area of residence. And here you see there's not as much difference from the urban and isolated. They're almost exactly the same. And the large rural and small rural are slightly different, but these are not statistically significant differences. So we have mostly the same in the areas for CHIP. So in conclusion, in the Florida Medicaid non-MCO HPV vaccine series completion, we find that there are lower rates in the general population and in the private insurance. These rates are lower than these. And this is despite the eligibility for free vaccination for all girls that are enrolled in Medicaid. We also found the racial ethnic disparities differed by the program component. What this suggests is that Medicaid and other healthcare programs can influence the racial ethnic disparities in HPV vaccine series completion. In CHIP, we found that HPV vaccine series completion was more similar to the general population and the private insurance, and the non-Hispanic blacks were least likely to complete at the recommended ages of 11 to 12 year olds. There are limitations and strengths of this research. The limitations is first, we were not able to look at the Medicaid MCO claims because they were not available. So what this means is we really don't know what's going on in Medicaid MCO, and maybe Medicaid in Florida in general is doing better than we have presented here, if that group is doing better at completion. We were also unable to assess any vaccinations received outside of Medicaid or CHIP. So if girls went to the state health department to receive their vaccine, we would be unaware that this happened, and then they might have actually completed the series where we think they have not. This might be reduced because we made sure that they had to have received one vaccine in Medicaid or CHIP, so they may be going back to the same provider. The strengths are that we have a very large sample size of over 20,000 girls who had already initiated the HPV vaccine series, and our data are not reliant on self-report because we use the Medicaid claims and encounter data. So for public health importance, one of the things that really stood out to me from this research was the area of residence. In Medicaid, we saw the decreasing completion rates as residence was further from the city center. But in CHIP, we really didn't see this, and there were similar completion rates by area of residence. So what this possibly suggests is that structural barriers to vaccination, such as the distance to the doctor, might be more important in Medicaid families than in CHIP families. This would possibly be due to fewer financial resources among Medicaid families, making it more difficult for them to get to the doctor. So in general, we found that healthcare programs can likely influence the racial ethnic differences in HPV vaccine series completion. But what we need to do now is to get an improved understanding of the barriers to the series completion. For example, what are the reasons behind the differences in the Medicaid healthcare program components? Are some groups doing special interest, or are the physicians different? It's just the patients that are going there are different? Or how can we understand how to influence the series completion? What this will do is allow the development of interventions to improve HPV vaccination and cervical cancer prevention among Medicaid, CHIP, and in other healthcare programs. So I'd like to acknowledge the funding for this study, University of Florida Cancer Center provided, and the Institute for Child Health Policy had some data, did significant data management since we have over 20,000 girls who were accepted in this study. And then thank you for listening and helping prevent cervical cancer in young girls. And if you have any questions that and you'd like to contact me in the future, this is my email address.
Yes,
Okay. We're outside. We have attempted to do that, and they're not willing to provide that data. They don't collect most of it. Sure. Let me go back to that slide if I can.
That might give us some hints.
Okay. Yes, so fee-for-service, the providers, this is actually the default program in Medicaid, and so if you don't sign up, you do go into this program. And in the fee-for-service providers are exactly that. They're paid just for each service. And then Children's Medical Service Network is a managed care organization for children with special health care needs. These are children who have been to the doctor over the average number of times in the past year. So then they're eligible for this program. And this kind of establishes maybe a medical home because they get assigned to one provider. And MediPass is also kind of a similar program. And Pilot, actually, both of these programs, the providers are compensated per member. And then in MediPass, they're also compensated per service. Yes, in the back.
Given the near universal poor rates of completing all three shots of residents, is there any data that's come out on the effectiveness of only two shots? I haven't seen, or I don't know the effect of only two shots.
You know, I haven't seen that. When I wrote this grant, I really looked really hard to find why three shots, and I talked to some people at Merck, and they said that they just did it because that's what they do with hepatitis B, and they think that that's probably most likely for three shots to be the most protective, but I haven't seen any data that have come out about what are the outcomes from the two shots, and they told me, you know, that's post-licensure stuff. They weren't really interested. Right. Yeah. Yeah, and actually, I know, I think Australia or one of the countries was just recommending two shots. They said they could pay for it, but they were only giving two. Yes. Yes. Right. I actually just published a paper in the Journal of Adolescent Health on the initiation in Florida Medicaid, and we found similar things with these huge differences by program component, and about overall we had around 19% initiating the series. Yes. Right, so I was worried about that. They can be in Florida Medicaid when they are 18, but we did restrict this population to those who had 10 months in Medicaid or CHIP following that. So that's not happening for this group of girls. But I'm sure that happens. People age out. Yes. They had to be enrolled for the 10 months following their first vaccination. We wanted to make sure we get, you know, we're trying to get what they were doing the best. You know, if you have the opportunity to reach these girls, they're in your program for 10 months, are they completing the series? But there are several girls that would fall out from that. Yes. The completion, so I did try to compare to the 13 to 17 year old overall completion to see what was going on. Oh, for Florida? So the NIS team doesn't give, they do initiation and for Florida, and that was 37%. So we're already below that in Medicaid. And then they didn't break out the states. So we're behind. Is that it? Great.
Thank you.